Welcome to the LYC Podcast. We are a youth community that believes in loving people and meeting them where they are. Our desire is that through this message, God's love for you is confirmed, your hope in Jesus is renewed, and your faith is awakened.
Today, we're in week number three of our series called Make Your Faith Your Own. And the goal of this really is to not have your mom and dad's faith, to not have your grandma's faith, that your faith, your belief in Jesus, that it would be your own. Your convictions would be your own. Your disciplines would be your own. Because if it is not your own, it will be temporary. Nobody is here by accident. Nobody in this room is here by accident. You might be here because of a friend. You might be here because your parents are bringing you. But my belief and goal for you guys to realize is that this is not by accident. God has placed you here. God has you here for a reason, because he wants you to receive from him and that your faith would be your own. So last week we talked about exercising your faith. Exercising your faith because, well, you have to start. You have to realize that you need to exercise your faith. You need, for your faith to be your own, you have to exercise. You have to put in the work for it to be so. So last week we talked about four fence posts that really are gauges for you to look at or checks that help you determine why you might feel off in your faith walk, or basically how do you put in practice so that your faith can be your own. So the next 4 weeks we're going to be going through this, but for tonight we're talking about reading the Bible. The title of today's message is Reading God's Word. Very simple. What would be like a clever youth sermon title for tonight? I'm talking about reading God's Word. Open that Bible, or I like big books, and I can't. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. I like big books, and I cannot lie. Oh, my gosh. Cringe. Oh, my God. Cut the recording. I'm going home. It's done. You guys just heard my last time preaching. My gosh. Reading the Bible is what we're talking about tonight, if that's all right with you. Some people have a lot of thoughts about the Bible. Some people have a lot of confusing questions. I'm so glad that we get to smile and laugh through situations, through sermons. I'm so glad that there's smiles on your face, because you're just so glad to see me. You're so thankful for God's word. Oh, I love the excitement that you have for what God has to say to you tonight through this message. But some people think that the Bible is this complicated thing to understand, that you need to be highly intelligent to grasp it. And if that were the case, then once people would be so smart and just stop reading the Bible. But no, the smartest people who read the Bible, who have a love for God's word, they can never get enough of this book, this word, because it's living, it's breathing. It's not like any other book. And for what I want you guys to learn is really that God gave us his word to help us learn about him and grow closer to him. So he wants you to understand it. You can't understand it. Like, he wouldn't make something for you not to understand. He wants you to be understand, but he wants you to seek him out and find him. Seek him out and find him. So he's searching for you, and we got to be searching for him in his word. So he wants you to understand what it says, understand what his word says. It is an invitation to grow closer to him. So how do you view the Bible? How do we view the Bible? How do you feel about when you read the Bible? How do you feel when you read the Bible? How do you feel about reading your Bible? Those are two different things, because we can feel like we should read our Bible but never read it. When we're reading our Bible, what do we feel when we do it? Many of us have Bibles in our homes, but do we actually pick it up regularly? You guys know in hotels, most motels, there is always going to be two things in that drawer. It's going to be a Bible and it's going to be a remote. Just because those things are in those drawers doesn't mean people picking them up. So this book, this thing that people just, it's a Bible, what's inside of it? But here's the thing, the Bible is a doorway to a closer relationship with God. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, and all else will be added, is what it fully says. But seeking first the kingdom, it's really hard to do that when you're not even opening the Bible, seeking God through his word, because God, this is who God is. God is also seeking you. He's ready to meet you in your reading and understanding of his word. If you don't get in the Bible, are you really seeking God? Are you really trying to make your faith your own if you're not attempting to get God's word in you, to get the understanding of it in you? Because here's the thing, we just gotta pick it up. A lot of us really just have to take that first step. Just pick it up. Get it in your ears. I know you guys love your podcasts and audiobooks. Listen to the Bible on audio podcast format. So the reason why the Bible really is important is because when we're trying to make our faith our own, we have to understand that. Here's my point number one. We think we know truth, but the Bible is truth. We have our own version of truth. You know that saying, but this is my truth. Everyone's got their truth. But here's what I want us to realize when we are making our faith our own in the right way. We need to understand that the Bible is truth, that we are going into the Bible, having not just a cherry picking, oh, this is what it says in the Bible. Well, that's everything that I need to know now. No, because there is, like, we can't just say, this thing says this, so that means everything else means that. We can't just cherry pick verses from the Bible. That is bad news. Don't do that. That's how you're going to make your faith your own in a bad way. But making your faith your own is realizing that life causes you to drift. You drift. Like, I drift. In my own ability, we are people who naturally drift. It's like, you know when you're in the ocean and you're drifting, you don't even realize it? Like, that's the hotel that I was at. Nope, it's way over there. We drift without realizing it. Here's the thing, though. The Bible helps us get back on course. The Bible is the thing that helps us get into the direction that we need to go. And without the Bible, we rely on our senses. We rely on our gut, we rely on our feelings, we rely on the things that come natural to us. And can I tell you this? What comes natural to us sometimes puts us in a wrong direction. Puts us in a wrong direction. Philippians 2, verse 12 would be on the screen. It says this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So remember that it is important. This is important. Making your faith your own is important because heaven and hell are real places. These are real places. And we have an invitation to have the God of the universe, the God of everything, the God who sometimes in our minds can be so far away and so distant in heaven, so light years, and the God who at the same time is also so close and wants to be so close in relationship with us. I remember being in college and like we were in a worship service, kind of like how we were earlier. And I remember like thinking about how like tall God would be. I remember like, oh my goodness, it'd be like, it'd be like my eyes couldn't even, like my neck couldn't break back far enough for me to really comprehend how tall and big God is. But then it's like, as I look down, it's like I see God would be face to face with me, meeting me, because that is, I think, the duality of God, that he is so big and yet he's so personal. He's so inviting to us, that he wants us to work out our own salvation because he paid in blood for us to live with him. We should be doing so and living with him. So prioritizing the Bible helps us grow. It helps us discover for ourselves who God is, what he did, so that our faith really can be our own. The Bible helps us work out our own salvation and makes our faith our own. So I have a question. You tell me this. You tell me. How are you like working out your own salvation? What's your view on, you know, lying? What's your view on dating? What's your view on drugs? What's your view on, you know, fill in the blank? What's your view on this? Well, if your faith is not your own and your faith isn't built in the Bible, you're going to falter and you're going to compromise to your senses. Well, I think, no, that's where we get into trouble. Well, I've been in conversations myself where I've had that same thing. I remember being like young and someone asking me a question about, you know, you go to church, what do you think about God? And I remember giving them this like cookie cutter answer that like wasn't the truth, but like it was like easier for them to like receive it and not like judge me for it. Even though I knew what was truth, I remember like compromising it, making it like a little bit prettier, and then being like, no, here it is, like God is love and that's all it. Like, no, like yes, God is love, but there's a just to God. There is truth to God, and we should not and cannot be people who deny the truth. And that's why it's so important for us to read the truth and to know the truth. The truth of the Bible is what helps us draw the right and healthy boundaries for our life. So, like I said, point number one, we think we know truth, but the Bible is truth. It's not my truth that I'm after. It's not my truth I want you to hear. It's the Bible. That's the truth that I want you to know. And you might say, like, yeah, like I'm a decent enough person. Like, yeah, like I know people who like do that, and I know people who like really are messed up, but like I'm good. Like you see me every Wednesday and Sunday at church, Sebastian. Like, you know I'm good. You know ain't nothing wrong with me in my hood. Like, I got straight A's. I don't even cuss on Tuesdays. Like, I mean, yeah, like, yeah, Mr. Perfect. No, like, okay, you think you're so right? You think that you don't have any, like, issues in you? You know what I love about the Bible? It shows us that people like King David, a man after God's own heart, that's how he was referred to as. A man after God's own heart killed a man. He wanted his wife. He killed a man. And all this stuff goes on. Like, that's a man after God's own heart. You're telling me that, oh, he wasn't a bad person? No, like, even he messed up. Even he had sin. We have sin in us. We are a part of this world. That means we have something in us that has a bent towards wrong. Darkness in us. We have the potential for failure. We know this. We have wrong in us. Like, I don't know about you, but maybe, I mean, I know some of y'all probably have, but like, I know y'all not getting hundreds on every test you're taking. Are you? Are you? Okay, so I don't know. Ari got hundreds on like every test she took, so I don't know. I can't really say that. But guys, like, we all have the potential to fall and mess up, to sin and do wrong. Well, you guys know, like, this is why, like, pastors, like, even people, like, talking about God, like, that's why they even fall, because they forget. And sometimes it's harder for them to remember that even they could fall. We all have the potential, and we all drift. But the Bible, the Word of God, that's what causes us to keep us on course. So I think I know truth, but the Bible tells me the truth. We want to make our faith our own by actually going to the truth and not just creating it for ourselves. We are imaginative people. We can create so much. I love entertainment and media and movies and TV shows. Do you know how out there and bizarre they are? Like, people are interesting and smart and so awesome, but it is out there. People create for themselves worlds, people, and like there's so much that our minds can do. And yet, this is why we have to realize that and say, no. I have the potential to make things my own truth, my own ways, and live accordingly. But knowing the Bible, I'm able to know that that's not something that I should do, because that leads to failure, to hard things happening. So Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 says this: every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Whew. Do not add to his words. Do not lessen what his truth says. Do not. That's what the devil did. The devil added to his words. We can't be people who are adding to it and trying to justify sin. We can't be people who are justifying our wrongdoings, justifying ourselves. The Bible is no ordinary book. The Bible is a living, breathing book, and it proves itself. Hebrews 4:12 says this: for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. You know what I love about what it says? The Bible is a sharp two-edged sword, able to cut. So that means it has a sharpness to it, but also, if used improperly, so much damage could be done. You let a sword get dull, it's dangerous. That's why we have to be sharp. We have to see the Bible as something that we need to use to have it sharpen us, because we can't be dull people. There is danger when we get dull. So we need to be sharpened by the word. The Bible tells us the story of God and his faithfulness, that from beginning to end, he had a plan to save us and to fully redeem the world. You guys know a couple, I'm sure you guys know a couple, you know, Bible stories, Adam and Eve, you know, Noah, Moses, and then it kind of gets a little, King David, you know, and then like, oh, Jesus is here. Okay, cool. No, but like there's history and all this stuff. It's all pointing to somewhere. And I love reading the beginning. Well, one, I love seeing the beginning because I know the ending, because I know what it says in its completion, how it leads and how it builds. But I love in the beginning when I see that the fall of man happened. And you'll see as you look throughout Scripture how Jesus is the thing that was planned from the beginning that would come and save us. That it was not just for us, for people all throughout history, but for us, that God had a plan from the beginning to come and save us. So the Bible is a powerful weapon. The Bible is something that God gives us to protect ourselves and to build us up, to use. We should be using the Bible. The Bible, this is what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. If you want to know what the Bible says, this is the Bible speaking about itself. So all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The Word of God, it teaches us, it corrects us, it prepares us, and it equips us. The Bible is a collection of books and readings and men inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote these words, the Holy Spirit speaking through them to us, not just to us, but for humanity, for people, because they needed this good news. This good news is for people. And these books, these different books here, they give us, you know, they give us advice on life. They give us practical wisdom, how we should live, what's right and wrong. But it brings us really into greater relationship with Jesus, which is the main goal and the main point of it all. This is my second point, my second truth for you tonight. The Bible helps our relationships grow with Jesus. If you want to get closer to Jesus, if you want your faith to be your own, the starting place really is the Bible. Because if you don't start there, if you skip this step, I'm very sorry, but it is going to be not just difficult, it is going to be almost impossible without the Word of God. The Bible helps our relationship grow with Jesus. And would you believe, like I said, would you believe what I said if I said that it's always been about Jesus? Can I prove this to you? I'm going to prove to you that Jesus was referred to in every book of the Bible. I'm going to give you just the first five books of the Bible, and then I want like five people like giving me like books of the Bible that I'll refer to as. So in Genesis, Jesus was the Word of God creating the heavens and the earth. In Exodus, Jesus was the Passover lamb whose blood was sprinkled on the doorposts of our hearts so that you could escape the bonds of slavery. In Leviticus, Jesus was the temple, the holy place where you met with God. In Numbers, Jesus was your ever-present God, your pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, Jesus was the prophet coming who is greater than Moses. Give me another one. Give me another book of the Bible. Hebrews? Is that what you said? Hebrews, let me find it, sorry. Hebrews, our great high priest. Give me another one. Zephaniah. He is the great reformer. Give me another one.
Isaiah.
Isaiah, sorry. Isaiah, Jesus was the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Give me another one. Amos, I'll get a Song of Solomon in a second. You guys are so silly, aren't you? Amos, he is your burden bearer. Song of Solomon, let me give you guys Song of Solomon, sorry. What did I say? Jesus is your lover and your bridegroom. Psalms, Jesus was the one who hears your cries. Proverbs, Jesus is wisdom personified. Jonah, I'll get you Jonah. He is the prophet cast out into the storm so that you could be brought in.
Kings.
Which one, brother? Jesus was the righteous ruler. Another one? Lamentations. I'll get you Lamentations. Said Jeremiah. Let me find it. Jeremiah, Jesus is the spirit that writes God's law in our hearts. I'll do Revelation last. What was the next one? Lamentations. I should have done all of them. Habakkuk, your reason to rejoice even when your fields are empty. Zechariah, the pierced son whom every eye on earth will one day behold. I'm going to give you Revelation. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Give it up for Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that baller? My gosh. He needs his, like, introduction music. The Bible helps our relationship grow with Jesus. It's always been about him. It's always been about Jesus. He is the center of it all. If you look through Scripture, he is the cord that strings it all together. And we need to not just be readers, but appliers of the Word of God. You know what's so funny about this? I think about sunscreen. And you guys know where I'm going with this. But like sunscreen, you know, like if I had sunscreen, I read the ingredient. I read like instructions over and over again. If I brought sunscreen with me everywhere I went, if I like watched all the YouTube videos and documentaries on sunscreen, like that would be like, that'd be great. But if I don't ever apply that sunscreen, it is useless. If I don't apply this Bible to my life, this Word of God to my life, it's not going to have its effect. We need to be people who are applying God's Word into our lives. This is my third point. My faith will grow as I apply God's Word. My faith will grow as I apply God's Word. Making my faith my own happens when we apply God's word to our life. If you don't know the truth, you will be directionless and you will be forced to rely on your senses. And your ways, truthfully, they lead to death. I'm sorry to tell you this, but truthfully, Proverbs 14, 12 through 13 says this, there is a path before each person that seems right, but ends in death. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains. The grief remains. Proverbs 4, yeah, I said it again. This is why it's so important for us to know God's word. Because if we don't know truth, how are we going to follow truth? This is so important because heaven and hell are real places, and if your faith isn't your own, it will only be temporary. And we don't want to be temporary Christians. We want a faith that lasts, not just for now, but for later, because we need it now, but more importantly, we need our faith later. We need what God did in our youth for us to be followers of Jesus that gets us to where the places where we need it the most, when the storms really come. Yeah, there's storms now in life, but and I don't mean to be dreary, and there's so much hope in the future, and there's so much God wants to show you and do through your life and the age that you're going to grow into and all the stuff. Like, be excited about growing up. Don't be too excited, like enjoy now, but like know that like God has so much for you that you should be excited for. But know that like you need him more and more. You will need him more and more. So if your faith is not your own, it will only be temporary. We should be people who are exercising our faith for your faith to grow, for your faith to be your own. You are to be one who puts in the work, puts in the discipline to exercise it so that you can be stronger. And the start of this really is knowing truth, knowing God's truth, not your own, not faltering to your truth, but following after God's. I'm going to pray for you guys, and we're going to go to small groups after that. Stand up, guys. Stand on your feet. I just feel like it's so awesome to stand. It's so much more like spiritual when you stand, you know? Just kidding. We wouldn't be in seats at church. Bow your heads, close your eyes.
Lord, we love you. We thank you for how you love us. We thank you for how you've shown yourself. You've proved yourself worthy. Your word has proven yourself trustworthy. Lord, would you just help the parts of our hearts that need healing, the parts of our hearts that do not trust? Would you heal the places that we need healing? The trust that's been broken, would you just remind us that you're a good father who loves his children, who's seeking his children out, who's knocking on our hearts. And Lord, would we be ones to let you in? Not just so that we could accept you, but also that we can live with you, but also to receive the blessing and the benefit that you have for us now. That the reward in heaven, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's the main thing, but also the reward now that you offer to us. Thank you for healing now for our families. Thank you for healing now in our bodies. Thank you for healing now in our minds and in our hearts, Lord, for the things that are hurting us, for breaking us, for the sorrow that we feel, for the lack of joy that we feel sometimes. Lord, for the pride in our hearts, would you just do what you do, heal us, protect us, and love us, Lord. Thank you for your grace.
We hope you've been inspired by this word. To help awaken your faith on a regular basis, subscribe now so you can be alerted when we have a new message. Thank you so much for listening.